giving together. Every year, thousands of churches who believe in this movement are giving millions of dollars to plant churches all over North America in our very own cities. And this last year, that family of churches gave $66.5 million, $5 million more than ever before. There is so much momentum behind you, behind us, to fuel this movement. And we need you to help us maximize the momentum by joining in this fueling. You can begin, if you've never given before, this year, by giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. You can take it up at Easter, and we have all kinds of promotional resources to help you. Or you can take up an offering all throughout the year in your monthly budget or at special times and call it a global missions offering or a church planting offering. However you choose to do it, we hope you will join us and see this mission move forward. Send Network, we have so much to be excited about. Let's fuel the mission together. If you want more resources or you want ideas about how to do this, go to fuelingthemission.com.
1 race car with an 18.5-gallon gas tank at 4.4 miles per gallon can drive 80 laps around an average track. Do the math. That means to make it to the finish line, an average race car must refuel over and over and over again. Fuel always powers movement. This is our movement. It's a church planting movement God is building in and through Sin Network. And it won't go anywhere without fuel. Church planting is about who can keep racing mile after mile, year after year. And so for a new church, for a Send a Network new church, it's the Annie Armstrong Easter offering that fuels the movement. Annie showed churches all over America they could become part of something bigger than themselves. And now, thousands of believers in churches who want to do that very thing give to the offering that's named after her. It raises up more planters to go out to more places and start more churches. New churches everywhere for everyone. If that sounds like we're an all-in-this-together kind of movement, that's because it is. See, running this race means helping the ones who come behind us. And so we don't just receive, but together we all give. That's what makes this our race, fueled by the Annie Armstrong Easter offering.
All right, come on, yeah. Praise the Lord. Wow, 65, 66. I was making sure everybody was paying attention. 66 million, that's incredible. Praise God, he's doing it, amen? He's doing it through the giving of faithful cooperating churches all around North America, given to this mission. Hey, maybe today you're thinking about, you know, I'm inspired. Maybe today you're saying, I'm inspired to get in on this. I want to be a part of this next season of giving. There's going to be a slide that's on the screen on just how you can get in the game, how your church can fuel the mission, fuel the vision through supporting Annie this year. And however you want to name it at your church plant on Easter, if you want to call it the Send Network offering, that's oftentimes how we do it. We say we want to give to Send Network. We want to take a big offering up. And shout out to this lady named Annie Armstrong as well. But however you want to do it, the money is going to go 100% to making and fueling church planting. So again, just couldn't encourage you enough. My wife, Nina, and I, and our church plant, Walk Church, were blessed to be recipients of the Annie Armstrong Easter offering as far as being a highlighted couple a few years back. And we still have cards and prayer cards and gifts and support that came from that time. So I couldn't just share enough how powerful this offering really is and encourage you to consider doing it this year. Easter's right around the corner. It's a great time to get in the church planting game and talk about what God's doing. Well, hey, we're here, amen? Come on, somebody say, we're here. We're here. It's the final session, and God has done so much already. I hope you're encouraged. One brother told me just earlier, he said, I feel like I got a shot in my arm, an injection of just momentum, of joy of, I feel like I got better over the past 2 days, and we thank the Lord for that, amen. That was the aim, that whether it was last night with Noe in the breakouts, or this morning with Pastor Mark in the breakouts, and just the time together, the multiplication panel, hopefully there's been something that came from this stage that jumped into your heart that you can take back and apply and feel like you got a little bit better, a little bit more encouraged, a little bit more built up, because we really do believe that you're built for this. Last night, Noe talked about being built up as a Christian, being built up as a disciple, Christ in you and through you, your character matching your calling. This morning, Pastor Mark delivered a fantastic word on just this idea of your family making it together, right? Just that thought, Pastor Mark, just messed me up. Just you having that talk with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to give you about 45 hours. If you can use me to do that. And praise God, Jesus says, I can. I will. And Vantage Point is better because of it. Church planning is better because of it. And so I pray that families are built up today. This last session, we're grateful today to have Pastor Chris Phillips in the house from Journey Point Church in Denver, Colorado. Come on, let's go ahead and honor him here today. Pastor Chris is a kingdom man. He's a disciple maker. He and his wife Libby have 4 awesome children, and this brother could do a back handspring off the stage if you asked him to, all right? He's a flexible dude. That's kind of weird to say. Has anybody ever introduced you and said you're a flexible dude? Sorry about that, man. Forget about that. He's an awesome kingdom man, all right? And he's going to bring the word of God here today. He's a fellow practitioner and church planner. One thing I love about you, Pastor Chris, is you're always smiling. You're always leading with optimistic faith. And I love how you always have some type of disciple around you. You're pouring into somebody. You're saying, hey, I'm not just doing this. I'm bringing somebody with me. It's what Pastor Keith said, the third generation, right? You're a disciple that makes disciples. And so I'm excited to learn from him today on the topic of the church, right? So you're built individually. You're built for this. Right, and not only are you, but your family is built for this. It's a together call, right? And today we're going to talk about how your church is built for this. The body, the bride of Christ, that Jesus loves his church, amen? Right, he loves his bride, and his bride is built for this task. So Pastor Chris is going to take us in. You know, I really loved the breakouts this afternoon. I had the chance to go to Pastor Brian and Amy Bloy's breakout on family. And they closed their breakout by just saying this. They said, you know what? When it's all said and done, we want to finish well. We hope that our kids and our church and those in our lives are able to see that, you know what? Mom and Dad finished well. That spoke to me deeply. But if I can just go ahead and take that, I want us to finish well here today. I want us to have a strong finish in worship and preaching and leaning in. I hope you'll use this notebook and take some notes down, write something down that God's going to deposit into your spirit from today. If we're going to finish well, we got to pray. We got to ask the Lord to help us do it. So would you join me right now? I'm going to pray, and then the team is going to lead us in worship. We're going to get better. Lord, here we are. We're a group of church planters, team members, married couples, singles, husbands, wives, sons and daughters. Some just starting, some considering quitting. And Lord, today I pray that you would be the one, Lord, to help us finish well. That you would put wind in our sails, regardless of what the season is that we're in, Lord. We would hear your voice today say, you're doing well. Keep going. Be encouraged. Keep leaning in. Keep worshiping. Lord, as we sing to you right now, I pray we would sing with faith. If anybody needs energy right now, God, give them some energy. God, give them some joy. And I pray we would go to you today with confidence in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great you are, how great you are. Don't just say it, actually think about this. And when I think about it, that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, thank you Jesus, I scarce can take a pity that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. And you see, because of this, this next thing is going to take place. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation. I look forward to that day. You look forward to that day, men and women in this room. So let's sing this with expectation that it's going to happen. When Christ shall come.
When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Thank you.
without hope and without light. So from heaven you came around. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets, to avenge and king the world. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Until I lay my See so many men and women just simply worship you, many men and women who shepherd their flocks that you've entrusted to them. And now, Lord, as we get ready to hear about us being the church, remind us, Lord, that you make us what we are. We're yours. Surrender to you. We are the church. Help us to be that and live that out well and show others what the church ought to be. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can take a seat.
All right, be honest real quick. How many of you all in here want to have that with your name on it this weekend? If you didn't think about it, you're lying right here in front of all of us, okay? Mark Lee said he already stole it from Noah and the team. Hey, before we dive in with anything, I think there's a couple of people that you and I all probably know as we wave at them in the hallways, as they continue to serve us so, so joyfully while we're here and really at every event that we come to with North American Mission Board. We have some ladies like Julie, like Heather, like Rivers, like Day, like Macy, all of those teams. Can we just give them a big round of applause for what they do? Right. Man, and it didn't start right here, right? It started a long time ago. And then another guy that really just kind of behind the scenes over here with his hat backwards, looking all swole. I just think he plants his church in St. Louis and works out all the time. Noah Oldham, thank you for investing in us and putting this together, right? So just giving proper credit where credit is due. And Jimmy and the team, I don't know if you like Denver, but I would love to find out if you do or not, if you want to move to Denver, Jimmy and the band. So come on, man. Can we give them a round of applause? Right. Okay. I don't know what I did wrong to Noah for him to put me after Noah and Mark, but we'll figure that out later. Those guys crushed it, right? I was telling my wife this afternoon, I'd love to show a picture of my family that's up here, my wife of 15 years next month, and our four kids. That's our four kids. Just like Mark, our baby girl has done nothing wrong in her entire life. Never will, and she's got three brothers to protect her, plus myself. But I was talking to my wife this afternoon, Libby, and she's not here. She's a school teacher, and she's like, man, how's it going? I was like, it is awesome. I've been so encouraged. Pastor Noah yesterday told me that the hardest heart to shepherd is yours, and I said it was hers, and so I just took it that way. She's not here. And then Mark, he encouraged us so much because he was like, man, how is it like to be married to you? And so I told her, I said, hey, the question I need to ask you is, what's it like to be married to you, babe? And so I'm just so grateful that she was not able to come with us, and so we're working on that. But man, what an encouragement from them. Like, if we're going to be churches that plant churches, and we're going to see a movement, and we can't take care of ourselves and our relationship with the Lord, and we can't then invest in our family and be the fathers and mothers and husbands that we need to be. If we can't do those things, we're not going to see God do what we are desperately crying out for God to do, are we? And so if we're doing those two things, then we go, okay, I've got myself working in the right direction. I'll never have it figured out. I've got my family working in the right direction. I'll never fully feel like I have that figured out. It's kind of like Noe's baseball. You fail, you know, 7 out of 10 times and you're a Hall of Famer in baseball. That's how I feel as a father and a leader and all of that. But if we can get those two things, man, now I can start to focus on the church, which is what God's called me to do. Hopefully this is what God's called you to do as well, right? And so we need to say that we are built for what God has called us to do. And one of the things I need you to know when you kind of walk out of here is that your church, no matter who you are in this room, is not your church. Your church is not your church. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you will be. I'd love to just walk down kind of memory lane of some statistics in our tribe, the Southern Baptist Convention, the last couple of years. Did you know that last year we found out that we were in our 14th year of decline as Southern Baptists in America? That mirror trends, that trends every single denomination across the board too. It's not just our Southern Baptist. We also saw our 9th consecutive year of decline in baptisms. Church-type missions, outreach-oriented type of things were also in decline, down by 14% from previous years. The SBC, now kind of fully in SEC country, now that Texas and Oklahoma wanted to join in on the fun. It is not relevant where you and I call home, is it? Look at this picture, and it'll show you a map of the United States with affiliations. If you can imagine, the red is what our tribe is. And we live in a lot of area and mass that doesn't have a lot of red in it. If you look across the trends in the U.S., we're actually looking the same decade after decade. This next picture shows a 10-year comparison. Really kind of looks the same, doesn't it? So we're losing people. Less people are coming to know Christ. We're not serving as much as we have been. And we're looking the same decade after decade. Don't you feel encouraged, guys? Right? Throw in a pandemic where pastors are leaving the ministry left and right because of all that they have been walking through. And welcome to the show. Am I right? But listen, and do me a favor, just lean in just a little bit. Even in the midst of any of those statistics and things that we just said, I want to remind you of something. God is moving. If you believe that God is moving, say he's moving. Right? God is moving. He is working. He is building his church, and in this room represents one of the change agents for those numbers on those screens to turn a different direction. And if you don't believe that, man, you got to figure out what you're doing. Because in this room right here is the way that we can be change agents to change that blue into red. This room. Do you believe that? We heard in the video earlier, Noah told us to pay attention to the numbers. By the year 2031, a third of the SBC will be church plants that started after the year 2010. One third of the Southern Baptist Convention will be church plants that started after the year 2010 by 2031. Come on. That's people in this room. And we know that statistically speaking, the greatest evangelical tool that we have in North America today outside of Jesus is church planting. It's the greatest tool that we have. President of NAM, Kevin Ezell, our guy, right? He communicated last year that we wanted to see 5,000 new congregations by the end of 2025. It broke down like this: 600 new church plants, 200 replants, 100 new campuses, and 350 new affiliations annually is what we're going for. And you and I, maybe more than anybody else in our tribe, know that we do not have time to waste. I mean, you and I know that more than anybody else, right? Do you know that right now, where we are today, we are in the fourth most lost part of the country? This is the fourth, this western U.S. is the fourth most lost part of the world, actually, behind China, India, and Indonesia, just the western U.S., where you and I call home, where our maps don't look like we want them to look like. We know the heaviness of this. Our neighbors, our friends, our communities, our PTOs and PTAs, our kids' friends, we know that they're all dying and going to hell. On my street, I live in Denver proper, and we're in a new community, and just on my street alone, there's 10 homes. We're one of them. On the far end is my friends Doreen and Pat, nominal Jewish, married to an atheist. Next door to them is Griselda and Alba, two sisters, never been to church in their life. You have us in the middle. We love Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? Okay. Next door to us is Fred and Becca, a recovering Mormon into no religion, married to someone that's never been to church in his life. Next door to them is two of our best friends, Danny and Eric, their two kids, and they are staunch Mormons. Next door to them is Joe and Alif and their two kids. She's from Turkey, a Muslim. He's from California, never been to church in his entire life. Across the street is John and Carlos, and I'll slow down for Hayden. John and Carlos. Next door to them is Miss Mary, who lives there because her son is in a same-sex relationships around the corner. Next door to them is AK and Sarah and their two kids, never been to church in their entire life. Then we have Danny and Ryan, who live next door to them, and she's a nominal Jew. He's never been to church. Next door to them is Mel and Chris. They chose career over kids, which is funny because there's about 16 kids on our street. It was a really bad decision to move into that house. Never been to church in their life, and next door to them is Bruce and Ann Julie, who just had their first child. Outside of Jesus, we're their only hope in the neighborhood for them to ever hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your neighborhoods look exactly the same. This room, you and I, the Western U.S. Sin Network, we can see those numbers change. Those statistics, those souls can be changed for the kingdom of God. But you know what it's going to take? Us planting churches that plant churches. You've heard it said before, and we kind of have talked about this before in many different settings, but let me remind you of something. Did you know that you're an interim pastor? You're an interim pastor. It's not your church. Some of you haven't even started yet, and you're an interim pastor, and that's just, like, get a hold of that because it's not your church. Really, if you want it to last, you're an interim pastor. And your church is not your church. And I want to tell you this, it's time for us to start acting like it. The focal point of kind of our gathering has been 1 Peter, right? 2, 4 through 5. This was a letter you and I know that Peter wrote. He was providing encouragement to suffering believers in the Northern Asia Minor area, right? He's reminding these persecuted Christians that heaven is their ultimate home. No matter what they're going through, that he was pointing them to the kingdom of God. Several of the kind of expressions that you read through the letter, you can just imagine Peter thinking back to his encounters with Jesus, can't you? Like the encounters that he had time and time again. Now, you and I are not facing the same persecution, are we? But let's just go ahead and say that the area that we live in the western part of the United States, like, it's certainly not easy. In urban kind of cores in the western U.S., like, it's not a piece of cake. Liberal ideologies everywhere we are, and like, wouldn't it be nice to just meet a conservative every now and then, right? I mean, do you feel me? Like, are you there? It'd be nice to just be like, yeah, I'm conservative, grew up in the church. Really? It'd be nice to just meet one of those every now and then. But here's what Peter reminds us in that passage. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5 says, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God. Chosen and honored by God. You yourselves as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Like, I have to believe that when Peter was writing this, he had an encounter in mind with Jesus. And for me, that encounter may have been in his mind is where I want us to think about what it would be like for Jesus to plant a church. See, we've talked about being conformed to Christ individually as church planters, ourselves, with our families as church planters. And my task to you is talk about being conformed to the image of Christ as churches. I mean, have you ever thought about that? Like, how would Jesus plant a church? Go ahead and raise your hand if you were one of those weird WWJD people, right? Right? Go ahead. It's okay. You can admit that. I was not raised in a church home, so I thought that was a little strange that these people had these bracelets, that it was like a cult thing, right? But I mean, like, what would Jesus do? And so when God called me to plant a church, one of the first things I thought about was, like, how would Jesus plant a church? Like, what would he do? I know we look at the New Testament, and we talk about all these different avenues, and we talk about Paul, and we talk about these missionary journeys, but, like, how would Jesus plant a church? If you have a copy of the Bible, we're going to be in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Hayden almost stole my sermon last night, man. I was over there nervous, like, man, settle down, settle down. But when we look at this, I think we can see how it is that Jesus would plant a church. Verse 18 of Matthew 16 says this. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter." Now, Peter has just confessed that he's the Messiah, right? He says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Can I get an amen? "And the gates of Hades will not overpower it." But keep going. He says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." Man, can I just pray for a minute? Lord, you will build your church. You have been doing it for thousands of years, and you will continue to do it. Lord, and by some just random chance, but we know is not random, but divine, you've called us to be a part of it. And we desperately want to see the landscape of where we call home change. We don't want you to just build our church. We want you to build churches that plant churches that plant churches. And Father, we cry out. We confess that we want to be a part of that. Father, we pray that the latter days in the western part of the United States will be greater than the former. We pray, God, that you would do a work exceeding abundantly above all that anybody in this room could ask or think, so that you would get all the honor, glory, and praise. And we pray that we would be pastors and pastors' wives and mission team members and church plant members, Lord, that would be churches that plant a church the way Jesus would, and that you would show us through your word what that looks like. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, and it's in your precious son's name that we pray all of this. Amen. If I'm thinking about how would Jesus build a church, I think the first thing that we would find out if Jesus would build a church, number one, it would be built on him. It would be built on him. Now, this is kind of a debated verse, right? When you look into it and you start studying it, but I'm going to go ahead and lean in the assumption that none of you all are trying to be popes, right? Because we don't need that getting out on Twitter. And so I could just see it now, right? Pastor Ed, we're helping you. And so we can just go ahead and admit there, right? You're not trying to be popes or anything like that. I'm leading with the assumption that we believe Jesus to be the foundation of the church. Do we? Jesus builds his church on the truth of himself. And as pastors, we should be inseparable from him. Thus, we are inseparable from his truth. If we're inseparable from him, we are inseparable from his truth. You see, when we look into the New Testament portion of the Bible in Matthew here, this is the first in all the Gospels that we see ecclesia, right? The church in all of the Gospels. And what I think that we can learn from here is what Haydn alluded to a little bit last night, is that, man, Jesus wants to use you. And just for a second, stop and think about that. Jesus wants to use you. He knows everything about you. He knows every good thing about you. He knows every bad thing about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. For some of you, he knows how many you do not have. He knows all the good and all the bad, and right now he wants to use you to build his church. Like, we can't leave here without holding on to that. But listen, he is the foundation for which you are to be used. He wants to use you, but he is the foundation for which you are to be used. Your church cannot be built on your personality. Your church cannot be built on your ability. Your church cannot even be built on some fresh kicks and a dripping fit, whatever that means. It can't be. It cannot be built on your personality, your ability, kicks, or anything like that. It cannot even be built on your ability to handle the word well. It's built on the word, not your ability to handle the word, but the word. Your church needs to be built on Jesus, period. Jesus is using you. He's using you as a foundational piece to point others to the foundation, which is himself. The foundation of the church is the revelation of God given through his apostles, and the Lord of the church is the cornerstone of that foundation. If you're attempting to build the church on you, you are competing with the Lord. I'll say that again. If you are attempting to build the church on you, you are competing with the Lord. I mean, we've heard the phrase that what it takes to get them there is what it takes to keep them there, right? Anybody heard that? So, I mean, if it's your ability to preach well, if it's your ability to lead up, if it's your ability to train, if it's your ability to have fun program, if it's your ability to have just an incredible worship experience, if it's your ability to do any of these types of things, that is what it's going to take to keep them there. But Jesus is the foundation of what it is going to take for that church to last. Ask yourself, what or who are you building your church on? Because Jesus will build a church built on him. But did you know that a church that Jesus builds would also be hopeful for the future? He says in that verse, what? I will build my church. That's point number two, that it's built. It would be hopeful because he will build. Say the word will. Man, that is a certainty in that statement. There's like a promise behind it. This is the idea that we get behind this because Jesus is continuing to build his church. We're reminded here that the church is also not a building, but it's a people. He's not emphasizing the time of when everything is going to happen or take place for the church, but he was emphasizing the certainty of that going to take place. Dan mentioned it up here in the multiplication piece, right? We're always worried about timelines and when we start, when we launch, and when we do all this. Jesus isn't worried about all those timelines, but he's telling us he will build his church. It will happen. If he has called you as a pastor, it will happen. Have you been called and affirmed by God to plant a church? The beauty of being in Cinema Network is we know that because you've been through an assessment process that verifies your call. The answer to that is yes. And I don't know where you are in that journey. I don't know what God has done or has been doing or is going to do, but I know this. He will build his church through you and also through the people that he brings to your church. No matter what you've walked through or what you're going to walk through, he will build the church. No matter what obstacle you have faced or no matter what obstacle you will face, he will build his church. No matter how uphill the battle may seem or how uphill the battle has been, he will build his church. That's some hope, right? And if you haven't experienced any of those things, you will. Mark's got his fun illustrations with boys to men, right? You can't compete with that. Like Noe, we got baseball players and just the way he tied it up to the very end. And here's what I've got for you, Norwegian rats, right? Look under your chair. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, domesticated, there's a study back in the 1950s with domesticated Norwegian rats. I know, it's random. It's so good, though. So these Norwegian rats, PETA would love this, they took them into a chamber to see how long it would take them to drown. Sorry, apologize if that offends you, but it happened. And so these domesticated rats could swim pretty long, but then they wanted to see what happened with wild rats. So they took the same kind, Norwegian rats. I have no idea why it was Norwegian rats or how you even know it's a Norwegian rat. But, right, but the accent, yeah, the accent comes out. And so they took these wild rats and they would drown within minutes, like a couple of minutes. And so they continued on in the study, and when they continued on in the study, what happened was they said, hey, let's do something a little bit different because these domesticated rats have been taken care of a little bit. So let's take these wild rats, put them in just before they drown. Again, like I didn't make the study, I'm sorry. Just before they drown, we'll take them out. And then what they did was they dried them off, and then about 15, 20 minutes later, they put them back in. And do you know how long they could swim after they had been taken care of? 60 hours. They went from 2 minutes to 60 hours. Why? They had hope. Because they had been taken care of, they had hope that they would be taken care of again. Like, can I be real for a minute? I've been more doom and gloom lately than I've been hopeful. Right? And I don't know what you guys have experienced, but there's been this thing called the pandemic. We lost, in a three-year-old church plant, we just celebrated 3 years, we lost 20-plus families that moved out of state. This isn't even the ones that are mad at me. They just moved. We're in our sixth different location in 3 years. I'm starting to now get the, you know, this is what I'm looking for in a church types of, I call that unsolicited free advice. I don't like unsolicited free advice. And so we have all this stuff. I've been more doom and gloom than I've been hopeful, right? Leadership anxiety for all of us is like real right now. But I have to remind myself that if Jesus is the one building his church and that he will do it, then the best is yet to come. And like some of us don't like that statement, but like theologically speaking, I hope you know the best is yet to come. Right? So you may not like it or not, and when you see it on a banner, but yes, theologically speaking, the best is yet to come. You can rest in this. You and I have been called to a cause that cannot fail. He will build his church. That's hope for a Norwegian rat, right? Are you hopeful for what you're doing, for what God's called you to do, or are you concerned, anxious, and second-guessing? You have to be real with that question. But here's the third thing. You know that because he builds his church, not only will it be built on him, not only should it be hopeful, but it would be invading. What's it say? And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. You know, this verse sometimes makes us think that the church will not be overcome by the attacks of the enemy. Maybe it's because we get so many attacks of the enemy that we start to think that, but that the church would like stand strong against all those attacks that are coming in. I mean, the church can't stand strong, but that is not what this verse means. Do you know that gates are not instruments of warfare? The purpose of a gate is not to overpower anything, but it's to protect. And the gates protecting the darkness in every city that you and I call home, from the churches that God has called us to lead and plant, don't stand a chance with the church that Jesus builds. It may stand a chance with the church that you build, but it doesn't stand a chance with the church that Jesus builds. They're to protect, and they cannot protect anything we do in the name of Jesus Christ. This verse doesn't imply the church being defensive and withstanding an attack. The verse simply implies that Jesus, the church that Jesus builds, invades darkness. The church that Jesus builds goes on the offensive. The church that Jesus builds doesn't wait around not to be overcome, but it attacks in the city that it is. The church that Jesus builds has overcome death. I mean, that's what this verse alludes to, right? Hades is the realm of the dead, right? So what Jesus is telling Peter here is ultimately that death, particularly his death, will not overpower a church built on Jesus who overcame death in the grave. Like a church built on him, there's no way death can overcome it because Jesus overcame death and the grave. That's what you and I have been called to. I was at a church in Tennessee that was our sending church, and the executive pastor's wife, I had a conversation with her at one point. Her name is Kim, and this was about a year and a half into our kind of journey, and man, things were going really well. Pandemic hadn't hit yet, right? So things were going good. I'm on cloud nine, right? I had no idea what was coming. And we're sitting out there, we're doing all this, and like we see her at this kind of event, and she's like, Chris, how's it going? I said, man, it's going really well. And have you ever felt like when things are good, you're just like waiting on something bad to happen? Right? Church planters? Yeah, amen if that's how you kind of have it, right? It's like something's coming. I'm getting an email today that the school is not going to let me in anymore, right? Somebody's leaving or something is happening. So I kind of said, man, it's going really well. Like feeling really good. Like just God's favor has been all over us. I'm just waiting on something I'm just ready for whatever's coming. And she, you know how like older ladies or your mom maybe like slapped your hand when you were a kid? Right, or maybe even adult, I don't know. But you know, they just have the right to do that. So I said that and she just like smacked my hand. I was like, what are you doing? And she said, don't ever say that. Ask for more favor. Lean in. Attack. Go. Don't sit back, wait on something bad to happen. Ask for more. Be on the offensive. Like, don't sit back and wait that God's gonna just like take this away all of a sudden, and that, by the way, if he does, that it's any different than what you had before. But lean into it and ask for more. Ask for more for your neighbors. Ask for more for your coworkers. Ask for more for your kids' friends, for the people that live around you, work, and play around you. Ask for more. Be on the offensive, because that's what a church that Jesus builds would do. Are you waiting not to be overcome, or are you invading darkness in your area? And it would be built on him. It would be hopeful. It would be on the attack. It would be invading. You know what else it would be? It would be kingdom focused. What's he say? He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Man, just think about that. He's telling Peter, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. A hopeful invading church built on Jesus has keys to the kingdom. Like, let's go. I said a hopeful invading church has keys to the kingdom. That's something to get excited about. Peter used the keys at Pentecost, right? Let in 3,000 people. Peter used the keys to preach to the Samaritans. Peter used the keys to lock out Ananias and Sapphira. Peter had these keys to open the door to the Gentiles through Cornelius. The point is that we have the authority here because we're built on Jesus. And because we're built on Jesus means that we're built on God's authoritative word. You see, Christians, we don't get to determine, pastors, leaders, church planters, don't get to determine what is right or wrong, forgiven or unforgiven. Rather, on the basis of God's own word, we recognize and proclaim what God has already determined to be right or wrong, forgiven or unforgiven. Our guy, Charles Spurgeon, said it this way. He said, our Lord committed to his church power to rule within herself for him. Not to set up doors, but to open or shut them. Not to make laws, but to obey them and see them obeyed. Peter and those for whom he spoke became the stewards of the Lord Jesus in the church, and their acts were endorsed by the Lord. Jesus is delegating authority to you and I, human leaders in his church, to manage his church on earth, which ultimately is part of the kingdom of God. Like, the greatest place to focus on the kingdom of God, you and I know, is through the local church that God's called you to lead. That's it. The local church is his plan. And he's allowed us into it. Man, we're not trying to win people over so that we can have butts in seats, budgets, and buildings that we dream for, that we call the local church. Like, we're trying to lead and win people over so they can have entrance to the kingdom of God. Their end-all, be-all isn't coming to my church. It's entrance to the kingdom, living a kingdom-focused life. Are you focused on your church? Are you focused even on your city sometimes? Or are you focused on the kingdom of God for your people? I think last, but certainly not least, the church that Jesus would build would multiply the mission. Like, if we want to see this move, if we want to see the landscape of those statistics and that map change a little bit, like, we've got to see us multiply this mission. Like, we have Vance Pittman now, right? Like, Mr. Church Planter, western part of the United States. Like, we get to claim him, right? Right? I mean, like, I know it's Sin Network all over the, like, I'm a West Coast is the best coast. He's ours, right? So we got Vance, who, you know, all of us have stolen ideas and thoughts and so much from what God has done through him, right? Encouragement and all that kind of stuff. But in Denver, I kind of started to do something that I heard him say early on, which was like, study what it would look like to grow my church versus multiply our church, the Lord's church. I found out that, very similar to like the story in Vegas, if God grew our church in the next 30 years, now, I say 30 years because I'm 41, and that puts me at 71, so that's a little bit past my prime. But just say 30 years, okay? 30 years, in the next 30 years, if God grew our church to 30,000 people. Come on, if 30,000 people came to your church this weekend, would you be excited? Yeah, let's go, right? You'd probably make some list that nobody really cares about, except for church people, because your neighbors don't. Like, your neighbors don't even know that list exists. And they don't even know how many people are coming to your church. The ones that are dying and going to hell, they don't care what list you're on. They care about the relationship that you can build with them. And if we did that, though, we'd feel good. But do you know that effectively, if we grew the church to 30,000 people in 30 years, we would effectively reach less than 1% of our city? Less than 1%, where we look at statistics in the city proper, we're about 92 to 95% spiritually disconnected from Christ. And so over 30 years, I'd get to hang my hat that we would have effectively impacted less than 1% of the people of the city that God called us to. But check this out. Over the next 30 years, if we had 5 churches in our city that planted 1 church every 3 years. Now, we have more than 5 churches from the city of Denver here today. this could be taken care of by the people in this room for our city. Five churches, planting one church every 3 years. You can't plant a church in 3 years. This Sunday, we celebrated our three-year birthday, and we sent out a church who also launched weekly. Hey, and that's not us, that's the Lord, and that's 2 years of a pandemic. Man, give me three good years, right? One church every 3 years, and then how about this? The reach of those churches, and when I say reach, I don't care about Sunday morning attendance. Because you and I know that, like, for whatever we have on Sunday, our reach is probably three or four times that, right? The ones that would call our church home and only come like four times a year, because that's just not the norm in the western part of the United States. Say our reach, like our genuine personal relationship reach, was 250 people in all of those churches. Five churches planting one church every 3 years that never reached more than 250 people. Do you know that in the same 30 years, we would reduce the percentage of lostness by around 25 to 32%? Man, I'm not going to be on a list because I didn't get 30,000 people. But entrance to the kingdom of God significantly rose. Churches plant churches. Jesus would multiply the mission. Guys, if Jesus was more concerned about the size of his following, like we are our church, then he would never, ever talk about the things that he did. I mean, like, he talked about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking the blood. I checked some church growth strategies this week. None of that was mentioned in there. And it's because he wasn't concerned about the size of his following, but he was worried about the substance of those following him. His focus was multiplying the mission through disciple making and reproduction of people and churches. And are you sold out for multiplying the church that he's called you to leave? Like, are you sold out for multiplying the church that he has called you to lead? I don't mean just like you think it's a good idea and you hear people talking about it, but are you sold out to plant a church that plants a church that plants a church? Because that's the church that Jesus would build. And I'm going to tell you what, you were built for this. You were. You were built for this. The people in your church were built for this. Pastors' wives are built for this. Your city is built for this. Like, your church is built for this, because your church is not your church. It's something so much bigger. Like, so much bigger. Are you trying to be the cornerstone, or are you a stone? Just be a stone and stack those stones left and right and keep stacking those stones in your city. I mean, did you know this? There was never a movement of God until there was a movement of God. There was never a revival until there was a revival, right? There was never a reformation, and guess what? Until there was a reformation. There was never anything like a great awakening until what? There was a great awakening. This is what Tim Keller says. There has never been a fast-growing revival in a post-Christian secular society. But every great new thing is unprecedented until it happens. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There is no reason to believe this promise has an expiration date. There is no reason for you and I to sit back doom and gloom and think that that promise that Jesus gave us through Peter has an expiration date. There is no reason for this group of people right here to not get after it and change what that map looks like 10 years from now. There is no reason for us to sit back and be timid and not attack in our communities where darkness lies and we know it. There is no reason for us not to be kingdom focused with our people, and there is no reason for us not to continue to multiply the mission. This room has the ability to drastically change the landscape for our children's children. And when they look at those maps, they say, man, what happened? And I want to look back and say, we are Sin Network. And we believe in a man named Jesus that called us to do a work that was greater than us. He called us to lead a church that was not our church, but it was something so much bigger. It was his church. And he will build it. So as the team gets ready to come back up, I want to close by just praying. And if we're being really honest in here, some of this hits home. Because we like our personality. And we've been told that we're the greatest asset in our church, which is a lie. We may be the second greatest asset in the church, but the greatest asset in your church is Jesus, and he will build his church, and it needs to be built on him. But the great thing is that he's chosen you to point to his foundation. And so I don't know what type of prayer posture you want to get in, but we may need just a second to ask God to forgive us for thinking that it was our church. So as we kind of bow and pray, I want you to just get right with the Lord. And maybe you're not messed up like me, where you thought fresh kicks, a nice hoodie, and a blazer could do something for a church. Maybe you're there. Ask for more from God, like you. But if you are like me, you've had a lot of ways that you think the church can be grown. And right now, you need to stop, get right, and ask God to remind you that it's his church. You are an interim pastor, and you want him to build it. Let's pray. Lord, I've been encouraged since we started yesterday. But I've also been convicted. Lord, you've called us to a calling that is so great, so hard, so challenging, so difficult. But it's a calling that will not fail because it's called from you and it's built on you. And Lord, I don't even know why you would choose to use me. But for some reason, you choose to. And God, it is time for us to step into that calling. It is time for us to own that calling. It is time for us to lean in to what you are wanting to do in and through our churches. God, it is time for us to put everything else aside and run towards seeing a movement of God happen in our cities. And we can even selfishly say that we want to see a move of God happen in the Western United States. But God, we don't want to lean into who we are. We want to lean into whose we are. So, Father, we today confess to you that maybe we have tried on our own. Maybe we have thought that we could do this thing. Maybe we have thought that we have the answers. And we confess right now that it's not our church. It is yours. You will build it, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. And so, Lord, we leave here commissioned to do a work, encouraged, re-energized, renewed in our faith of what you've called us to do. Father, and I pray that year after year, we celebrate more churches and newer churches and churches that are planting churches and third generations of churches and generation of generation, Lord, because we don't care about lists and we don't care about big followings, God, but we care about your name being known across the Western United States. Father, I pray for every single one of these men and women that are here. I pray for the children that are here, Lord, that you would raise them up as pastors and leaders and missionaries. God, that generations would be impacted by this room right here, and the Western United States would never be the same when we walk out that door. Father, that we're attacking, that we are ready to overcome the darkness in our cities, that we are on the offense, Lord, in our cities, that we are to make your name known by the power of your word. God, do what only you can, and do it in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus, whom we love and we cry out to, that this is his church and we know he will build it. We love you. we praise you. Amen.
Come awaken your people. Come awaken our cities. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken our cities. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. Hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. We've seen what you can do. Oh God of wonders, your power has no end. The things you've done before, would you do it again, Lord? The things you've done before, in greater measure, you'll do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible, and there's no broken body you can raise, no, so that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up.
stronghold will crumble.
Hear the chains hit the grass,
Lord. Oh God, a revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Yeah, would you do that? Would you do that? Yes, God.
Out of revival, pouring it out upon us. Can we just one more time thank Pastor Chris for leaning in, pouring out. Speaking of pouring out, all those notifications on your Twitter came from me, bruh. I was posting it up. That was such a good word. So challenging, convicting, but just the reminders, as you said in your sermon, was hopeful. So thank you, brother, for that. Hope that everybody else was encouraged by that. Let's thank the band one more time, Jimmy McNeil and Austin Stone Worship, taking time away to be here. In fact, if you didn't know this, actually, Jimmy McNeil recently dropped a new album called Roots. So streaming on all Spotify and platforms, if you want to check out Jimmy's latest album, give him some streams because he's got some good content, good music on there. So dope, man. Congrats on that new album, by the way. Hey, everybody, you can go ahead and grab a seat. We're going to get ready to finish up our time here. Before we do that, Holy Spirit, you, the Ghost, Holy Ghost. I want us to just take a moment to reflect, on this message we just heard. It's filled with so much truth. And Pastor Chris, one of the things that you said that really just did something in my spirit was this quote: if you're attempting to build the church on you, you're competing with the Lord. The question that I want us to write down in our notebook or in our phone or wherever you're going to take some notes here is this question: Lord, where am I competing with you? Just maybe jot that down and create some space for some listening prayer. Just ask the Holy Spirit, hey, am I missing something? Is there an area within our church or in my life in this season that I'm competing with you, Lord? Because the greatest thing you could do as a leader today would be to lay that down, would be to surrender that, maybe even come up to the altar at some point before you leave, turn it into an altar and just say, Lord, I'm gonna leave this here in Anaheim. I'm going back, not competing, but receiving. No longer fighting against what the Lord is doing, but surrendering to what the Lord is doing. And so I want you to use that as a question. Lord, where am I competing with you? A part B question. I'm going to give you a part B question. In case you're prideful and you're like, I'm not competing with the Lord anywhere. I'll give you a part B. Where do you need to invade? As you go back, as you go to your context, I love what Pastor Chris said. We're an invading church. Right, we're not a passive church. We're definitely not a defeated church. We're an invaded church. We're going to invade schools. We're going to invade neighborhoods. We're going to invade our own homes with the gospel. Where do you need to invade? Only you and the Lord know exactly what that looks like. But maybe create some space right now just to listen to the Holy Spirit, His soft, still whisper. Lord, where am I competing? Where do I need to start invading? We're going to take a couple minutes right now, reflect, write some stuff down, and pray that up. Thank you.
Well, I hope that the Lord is depositing some things into your soul. From last night to this morning, to the breakouts, to the panels, to this final word from Pastor Chris, to the discussions at lunch and dinner and breakfast, and the times have been so sweet. I think about what David writes in Psalm 16. He says, the lines have fallen for us in pleasant places. Amen. It's been a good couple of days. I want us to close this time out with some intentional prayer, and I'm honored to invite Miss Kathy Litton, our planter spouse advocate for the nation, who's here this week. Come on, we got to honor Miss Kathy Litton in the house. She has ministered to many wives in this room and beyond. And Kathy, thanks for joining us. Our network is better because of you. Your husband's all right. He's all right too. He's awesome, but you guys are just such a kingdom couple, and there's so many amazing women of God in the rooms, some single, some married, some praying, some widowed, some just navigating, and I think it would be so, I sensed it from the Lord that we have an intentional time praying for the women in the room as well. So I'm going to start us, Kathy's going to close us, and then we're going to go from there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are built for this. As men and women of God in the room here today, we're built for this. So Lord, we surrender. Just go ahead and open your hands. Just open your hands up. Just surrender whatever you need to surrender. God, we release things. We're not clinching on to anything, not even to the churches that you've called us to plant. We, at best, we're interim. So we're a surrendering people here today. We're a desperate, dependent, hungry people in the room that really just want to be used for your glory, for your sake. Use us, God. Fill us up, pour us out, fill us up again. God, thank you for this gathering. I want to pray for all the men in the room right now. God, I pray we would be the leaders you've called us to be. I pray that we would be focused. I pray we would be dialed in. I pray that we would be leading and we would be prayerful. We would be 1 Timothy 2 men that lift holy hands and pray. God, I pray that we would walk in purity. We would throw things down that don't need to go into this next season. The righteous fall 7 times, but get back up again. God, I pray this would be a get back up moment for somebody. I pray for those who are wrestling with depression. I pray for those who are struggling with just finding the desire to just go again. I pray for my brother, Pastor Ryan, Ivy, and Kirsten, who just the other day, just this week, had to give their foster baby back to a new guardian, and just struggling with that decision, missing this baby girl, but are here today encouraged because of what you're doing. Pray for anybody who's struggling in the room today that they would find their hope in Christ. And God, that we wouldn't just be hearers of this word and deceive ourselves, but God, that we would be doers of whatever it is that you've put on our hearts over these past 2 days. I'm going to pass the moment here to Miss Kathy.
Father, I pray for this sea of women and all the women they represent, Lord, that are serving in the laboring and the harvest in the kingdom of God.
Yes, Lord.
And they have been called into Great Commission work by your very words, Father, to go, and they have gone. And I thank you for their willing to obey you and to follow you and pursue you with all their hearts. And they've been changed and transformed by the power of the gospel. And they want to see other people in their cities and their communities set free as well. That they would walk in a transformed relationship with the God that created them. And so I pray for these women, if they have come to this place, that they would leave with their souls and their spirits refreshed. And Lord, that they have taken some time to receive and not just give.
Yes.
And Lord, you have spoken truth to them in this place in the Word of God. Maybe they've gotten a nap that they badly, badly needed, Father. But they have come here to worship and to serve. And some of them are married, some of them are laboring in the field as a single woman that has felt a personal call to serve in a church plant. And Lord, they're giving of themselves in such generous, generous ways.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would prosper their souls by being here. And there would be fruit born in their life of joy and peace. And Lord, just life once again. And Lord, protect them. Protect them from overcommitting and overworking, Lord, and finding themselves in a place that's not healthy.
Yes, Lord.
We had a conversation about our souls, and here I pray that their souls would be healthy. And they would work to cultivate that health in their souls so that we can represent Christ to the world around us. So bless them, Father. Protect them as they go back home, Lord. Give them wisdom and boldness and grace and mercy as they move forward. And Lord, I pray that you would remind them that they are your beloved daughters.
Come on.
You accept them and you love them, and you will give them everything they need for life and godliness. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, everybody. Have you had an amazing time over the last couple days?
So good. Thank you, Kathy.
I know that I don't need to tell you this, but we are part of a special family.
Yes, we are.
Look around. We are part of a special family. And we have a special opportunity, I believe, over the next season to see God really birth something out of this family. Think what God might do in the next 10 to 20 years. As we keep our eyes on Him, our hand to the plow, we let our egos get small and we see the worship of Jesus lifted up. Oh my goodness. I want you guys to know that every single day, there's a team of men and women that serve mainly out of Alpharetta, Georgia, that love you and will do anything to see God's call on your life be fulfilled. And I would just invite you, if you would, to give those men and women a round of applause who've served to put this together this week. Man. They love you. What I want you to know is even this week when you get back or you get these cold months ahead, any moment you begin to believe that nobody believes in you, you pick up the phone and you call Send Network, and there will be men and women that answer the phone and say, we believe in you. Don't quit. Don't quit. But I also want to say there are leaders that are out in the field that have said not only they care about planting their church, they want to see you plant your church. We have our field leaders from the West that are here today, led by our RDs, regional directors, Shane Kritzer, Dave Howeth. Can we give it up to all of our regional staff and Send Network? Thank you for what you do. You're heroes. Thank you. I want us to say one last big thank you to our MC for the week who led us from the stage, keeping things moving, keeping the energy up. Hayden Ratner. Can we say thank you to Hayden? Bro. There's a movement coming. I believe it. And I want to let you guys know about two things. Though we do not have the city nailed down yet, Send Network Gatherings 2023 have been approved and we're beginning planning. You excited for next year? Come on. Let's get it on the calendar. We'll carve it out. It's going to be fun. The other thing is, between now and then, God has given us a great opportunity. God is giving us a place as Send Network within the greater kingdom to see movement happen among new churches. Over this last several months, we have acquired the newchurches.com website and resources. There's a podcast, all kinds of things. Those are our resources. Many of you have already spoken into them. Many of you are going to over the years to come. God is placing us strategically in order to influence the kingdom of God. I want you to know that you are a part of that. And over this next year, we're going to see God do amazing things. We're getting ready to close with one more song. That song is worthy of more. That we will give Him glory, but He is still worthy of more. And until He comes, we will go. But just a second, check out this video, how you can get involved with newchurches.com, how you can grab these resources and share them all over your church, all over your city. And then if you would, stand with me and we'll sing.
Starting a new church? At newchurches.com, you'll find free resources and a church planning masterclass featuring Matt Chandler, Ed Stetzer, Dahati Lewis, David Platt, Trillium.